Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning, and welcome to The Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. My devotional message for this morning is entitled, I Am Christ in You. Praise God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Colossians 1 and 27, where it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Isaiah 42 and 6, and it says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Praise be to God. My third scripture reading is Nehemiah 8 and 10. And it says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is a sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Praise be to God. And my fourth scripture reading is coming from Romans chapter 15, verse 13 from the AMP Bible. And it says, may the God of your hopes so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with joy. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. For he said, I am Christ in you, the hope of glory, the one who walks beside you, holding you by your hand, is the same one who lives within you. This is a deep, unfathomable mystery. You and I are intertwined in an intimacy involving every fiber of your being. The light of my presence shines within you, as well as you upon, as well as upon you. I am in you, and you are in me. Therefore, nothing in heaven or on earth can separate you from me. Praise be to God. As you sit quietly in my presence, your awareness of my life within you is heightened. This produces the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. I, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in me, so that you may bubble over with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our service or our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Praise be to God. But the Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a word from the Lord. But first, we are going to say good morning to the Lord, and following that, Apostle Mother Wiggins. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise be to God. What a wonderful way to say good morning to the Lord. And now our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a word from the Lord. Amen. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning, Evangelist Hilda?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen.
Beautiful morning.
Isn't it beautiful this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I just thank God for letting me see another day. Amen.
You and me both. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Mm. Praise God.
He didn't have to do it, but he thanked God that he did.
Amen. Yeah. And I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We're so glad to have you on board. And we acknowledge your presence. You know, we know that we're not on this program for nothing. Amen. God doesn't have us here for nothing. And whoever is listening out there, we just thank God for you. We thank God for your family, and we hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen. And also, I just want to let you know that our visionary, Apostle Wiggins, and his lovely wife, Nadine, they send you their blessings and their love. Amen. And they just hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen.
Yes, yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I just want to say we thank God for Evangelist Hilda, who keeps everything up and running. Amen. That she's on from Tuesday to Saturday. She opens up the program. Brings sweet hour of prayer, and also she brings a sermon or two, maybe Thursday and Friday. She brings a sermon. Amen. So we just thank God for Evangelist Hilda, who is so steadfast and so unmovable that she's on every day, no matter what. Amen. We thank God for her. And we just want to thank God for Sister Barbara. She's on Wednesday with
Tuesday.
A lesson.
Right
Tuesday.
Now,
okay.
She comes on Tuesday.
All right. She's on Tuesday. She brings a lesson on Tuesday. And we just thank God for her. And right after I get off this program, she's coming on with some beautiful, inspired poetry. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful, inspired poetry from God. Amen.
Yes.
She's coming on right after I get off. Praise and also, we want to thank God for Pastor Kathy and her husband. Amen. And they'll be on after Sister Barbara with Talk in the Sanctuary. And you don't want to miss that. Amen. And also, I just want to give a shout out to Prophetess Washington, Dr. V. Turner, and Apostle Jackson.
Amen.
I want to give a shout out to them, their families. I hope it's all well with their families and their congregations. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for them. They have been such a blessing to this ministry.
Yes,
so we just want to pause and give a shout out to them. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So you know what I'm going to talk about right now. Amen. Our eyes are going to turn towards the Most High God, Ahaya. Amen. We're going to give pay our attention to him because he likes to be acknowledged and recognized. Amen.
Amen.
He's the Most High God. And we are so happy that we've gotten to know who he is and what his real name is. Amen. Because we don't want to be worshiping something else that, you know, is not right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When I find out the real of something, I will switch immediately. I don't need to ask nobody whether I should switch or not, because common sense will tell you that if you're praying to a wrong God, then you need to make a change. Amen. Praise God.
That's true.
I want to make sure I'm praying to the white God. I don't want to be praying to a demon or a devil. Amen.
Amen.
So God doesn't want us ignorant of Satan's devices. He doesn't want us ignorant. Amen. So he said we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So when we get the truth and the real knowledge, then we need to switch, make a big switch, and swiftly. We don't need to wait. You know what I mean? And say, well, should I do this? If you know it's the real thing, then you need to do it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
So I'm going to say a prayer to Father God Most High, and then after that I'm going to sing a song for him.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. So if there's any of you out there, whether we could be in this country or any other part of the world, we're all going to bow our heads together, united in prayer. Amen. Or united as I pray. Praise God. Father God Most High, we come before your throne with joy, thanksgiving, and merriment of heart. We bow down and humble ourselves before you. We decrease that you'll increase and be glorified. Because of ourselves, we are nothing, we can do nothing, and we know nothing without you. What is our life but a vapor? You are the master of the wind, the sunlight, the midnight sky with the moon and the stars. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You have made this world and everything in it, and without you there was nothing made, for everything was made by you, for you, and through you. We love, appreciate, and adore you. And we thank you for all that you've done for us and are doing for us today. We just want to let you know how much we love you, Lord. And we thank you for your only begotten Son, Yeshua. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen. Praise God. Praise God. So right now I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to sing the song that God wants me to sing. I sang it last week, but he wants me to sing it again. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to sing this song, and if you can listen to the words of the song. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are great and greatly to be praised. A higher, a higher, a higher, a higher. You're great and greatly to be praised. We sing to you the songs of Zion, for you are the Most High God. We offer you the sacrifice of praise. We honor you, Most High. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing to you the songs of Zion, for you are the great I am. We offer you sacrifice of praise. We honor you, Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Singing to a higher, the Most High God.
Yes.
The Almighty. The Almighty. We're singing to the Almighty. Amen. A higher. Amen. So right now I'm getting ready to go into this word today. And you can get your pens, your papers, your pads out while I say this short prayer to a higher. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, Most High, I thank you, Father God, for giving me another opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today, Father God, because we know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So, Father God, as I go forth today, I ask you to protect that word as it goes into their spirit in the mighty name of Yeshua. And I ask, as I go forth, that it be with the leading of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm getting ready to... I'm coming from John, chapter 4, and it's 3 to 9. John chapter 4, 3 to 9. I'm continuing with what I talked about last week about Nicodemus. Amen. And the Samaritan woman. Amen. So he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. I'm talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he most needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which he called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink from me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Amen.
Amen.
So we thank God for that, those verses of scripture. Amen. It actually went to verse 10. Amen. So it was 3 to 10. Chapter 4, 3 to 10. Amen. Praise God. So my title is The Untouchables. That was what I was talking in last week. The title is The Untouchables. In the world's eyes, two people could not have been more different than Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman. He was a somebody and a Pharisee, and she was a nobody. He was a man and she was a woman. He was an Orthodox Jew, and she was a Herodox, a Samaritan. He was moral and she was considered immoral. At least he seemed to be moral. He looked like he was moral, you know what I mean? But she was immoral. And he was a scholar and she was uneducated. He was a church man and she was a woman of the world. But in God's eyes, what they had in common was far, far more important than their differences. They both thought that they were spiritually okay, but they were both spiritually dead, blind, and lost. Therefore, they both needed the Savior of the world, and God loved them both. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
See, a lot of times that's what's with us, you know. Sometimes you don't realize that you could be spiritually dead.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That you need a Savior. People that haven't accepted Yeshua as their personal Savior. That you're spiritually dead. You could be in Christ. And you haven't kept a relationship with God. So you're spiritually dead. You know what I'm saying? You don't have that relationship with God. You think you have something going on, but there's nothing there because you don't keep your relationship with God. You see? So in verse 10, Jesus replied to Nicodemus, you are a respected Jew, a teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. Amen.
Amen.
So we're coming from John chapter 3, and it's verse 10. He says, Jesus replied to Nicodemus, you are a respected Jew, and yet you don't understand these things, because Jesus was talking about him being born again.
Mm-hmm.
Nicodemus didn't understand because even though he was a religious leader, he was still in the flesh. You see? He was still in the flesh. He still hadn't been baptized with the second birth of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
He wasn't baptized yet. So he wasn't baptized with the Holy Spirit to give him spiritual life. He was walking in the natural, and the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. You see,
mm-hmm.
That's why if you're a Christian, I mean, in Christ, and you don't understand, you haven't been baptized. You wouldn't understand the things of the Spirit. You see, he didn't understand the things of the Spirit. Nicodemus had not entered into God's kingdom yet, even though he appeared to be religious. And there's some of us today that appears to be religious. You understand?
Yes.
And that we're a child of God, a child of the Most High. We appear to be that. You see, but we're still walking in the things of, we're still walking in the natural. We're still carnal. You understand? Maybe we're walking in sin and we haven't repented. We haven't asked God's forgiveness for our sins, what we've done. And we think we're all right. Amen?
Amen.
There are some of us today that appears to be religious. Like I said before, we feel that we have it going on. But as Jesus said, being baptized, being born again of water and the Spirit causes the Holy Spirit to give birth to your spiritual life.
Amen.
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 So Jesus is at the door to this process. See, Jesus is the door. If you are a Christian, haven't been baptized, then you need to be baptized as soon as possible so that you can start your spiritual life.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're missing out. You're still walking in the flesh, natural. That's probably why you don't understand the things of the spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know. So take heed. This is very important. God wants to open your eyes. He wants you to know this. And that's why Jesus spent some time with Nicodemus in Jerusalem and had told him, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Amen. He left Judah and departed again to Galilee. That's what God did. But he needed to go through Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
So in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, why it was a geographical necessity. Most Jews went east of the Jordan through Perea, but they didn't want to have any contact with the Samaritans. It would make them ceremonially unclean. They also knew that they would receive no hospitality from the Samaritans. Then why did Jesus need to go to Samaria? Because it was a moral necessity, a spiritual necessity. He wanted to love the unloved people. Amen. He wanted to love the unloved people. People that were nobodies, the immoral, the uneducated, the people of the world, because those in the church don't need a physician. Jesus was sent, the sent one. He was sent by God, and this was his mission. This was his mandate to set the captives free from the penalty of sin and death. Amen.
Amen.
That was his mission. It was his mission to bring them out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Amen. The Samaritans were descendants of the intermarriage between the Assyrians and the Jews after the 8th century B.C. They were a mixed race, semi-Orthodox, plus cultic, pagan religion, religious elements with their temple on Mount Gerizim. They were considered by the Jews to be racially, ethnically, culturally, and spiritually inferior. The unpeople, uncool, unpopular, the untouchables. That's what they were considered to be. They were considered to be unspiritual. You know what I mean? They were uncool, unpopular, and they were like the untouchables. Who might these people be today? Who are the unpeople, the untouchables today? Who are these people? They are the people of the world who have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior yet. But it's a possibility that they might. We cannot write them off, amen, because we don't know who's out there in the world that's ready to come into Christ. Amen.
That's right. We don't.
Everybody is not turning their back on Christ or on God. There's not everybody doing that. There's people born into this world that's ready to come into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
But they're waiting for an evangelist, a teacher, they're waiting for somebody to lead them into Christ. These people that are lost and walking in darkness, that's the whole reason why Jesus came. He came to save the lost, the confused, the mentally ill, the homeless, the orphans, the elderly, rich, poor, the disabled. Amen. Even if you're disabled, he's no respecter of persons. The prisoners, even a lot of times in the prisons, prisoners accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior, or Yeshua as their personal savior. Those that are incarcerated, and the popular and the unpopular, the educated and the uneducated, males, females, gays, and transgenders. All these people sometimes turn from their whatever they're doing, their wicked ways, and they seek after Christ. Amen.
Amen.
God wants that none should perish. That's why we as Christians are sent out into the world, because he wants to give everyone a chance to come into the knowledge of Yeshua. He wants them to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Saved from the penalty of sin and death. When you make this move and pass through the door that is Jesus, it brings you into God's kingdom and a right, intimate, personal relationship with God,
Amen.
Your Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Not only that, your body becomes the temple of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Your body becomes the temple of the living God. Amen. So I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to turn it back over to Evangelist Hilda, and we'll continue with this next week.
Amen.
So I hope you got something out of this message today. Amen.
Praise be to God. Amen. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap praise. Amen. And before Apostle Mother Wiggins come back and give us the call to salvation and the benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Yes. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Evangelist.
Good morning.
And I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank
blessed.
You. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. This morning, I'm going to be reading a poem which the book is named after. Of course, the book is entitled The Profundity of God, a Spiritual Anthology and Poetry. And the name of the poem is The Profundity of God.
Amen.
God is profound. He is a spirit come down in the flesh. How profound. God is Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, the triune God, all three profoundly one. He wakes us up in the morning, yet God has been there all night. He doesn't sleep, slumber, or nap, doesn't take long coffee breaks. He's omnipresent, yes, and that all over the world. God zeroes in on the prayers of a little boy and those of a little girl. God is special. He's God all by himself. He doesn't need your help or mine. When you call him, he will answer And he's never rushed or out of time. We can call on God when we want to and don't have to wait our turn in some line. If you need it, you can be doctor, lawyer, preacher, teacher, mother, father, sister, brother, lover, CEO, financial planner, and oh yes, a president too. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing God can't do except fail. Never that. God cannot do that. There's nobody like him. Search all over this world, this town. There's nobody like God, for God is just profound. Say what you want to say. Say what you will. God is not the author of confusion or chaos, evilness, deceit, or defeat. You can, if you like, repeat. He's my personal savior. And God is all about peace, kindness, love, gentleness, grace, truth, self-control, long-suffering, patience, faithfulness, wellness, and being made whole. No crabs in this basket, always pulling the other one down. Yes, God is truly in you. You too can be profound. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
That was beautiful.
Yes.
God bless you,
absolutely. I like that part where it said, where you were saying about the crabs. They're pulling you down, and it's so true. Every time somebody climb up that ladder, there's always somebody behind them trying to pull them back down.
Pull them back down, exactly.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, wow.
I
like the God that you said that God is our everything. You named all the things that God is.
Yes.
Us.
Yes.
And another thing, too, you said that God doesn't take no coffee break. That was funny.
He does, right. He doesn't.
That he don't take a coffee break.
Like man, you know?
That is funny.
And he's right there with us even when we're sleeping.
You said it.
God,
that's
don't
right.
Sleep. Right there with you, no matter what trouble you're in, he is right there with you.
Thank you.
And he's working it out. He already knows the solution.
Yes.
And a lot of times when he works it out, you'd be surprised at the solution, how he gets the solution for you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Unexpected solutions.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. God can make the impossible possible.
He
makes the impossible possible.
Won't he do it?
Where people,
yes, he will. Won't he do it?
Yeah.
Won't he do it?
Where people say, oh, no, that can't be done. That's impossible. God said, I got a solution
nothing
to that.
Nothing is impossible for God.
That's right. Nothing
let him
is impossible.
If he can do that,
all we got to do is turn it over to him and trust him.
That's right. Turn it over to him. Amen.
Yes, amen. Oh, right fitting for today's time.
Oh, glory to God. God bless
you.
Amen.
Praise
God.
Thank you, Sister Barbara. That was was said at the right time, at the right moment, when we all needed to hear it.
Amen.
God be all the glory.
God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
So it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 12, the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your heart.
Yes, yes.
You see, because God is not looking at your outer appearance. He's looking at our hearts. Amen.
Yes,
that's
amen.
What God is interested in, how we are inside. Because a lot of times on the outside you look really good, but your inside is like dead men's bones. Amen. It's rotten. Amen.
Amen.
So if you're anyone out there today who want to accept Jesus, Christ as your personal Savior, this is your time now.
Yes, amen.
This is your time. All you have to do is say this short prayer after me. Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe that you raised your only son, Christ, our Savior, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Christ, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart, and I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
I now take him into my heart, and I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life. Amen.
If there's any of you out there that have said this short prayer, we welcome you into the body of Yeshua. Amen. Christ.
Amen.
We welcome you into his body. Amen. When you said that short prayer, something happened. The Holy Spirit came to reside inside of you. If you don't have a church home, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the right place where you can hear the word, where you can grow, and where you can fellowship with other believers. So again, we welcome you into the body of Yeshua. Amen. Christ. Amen. As it says in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, oh, how great are God's riches, wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, in the mighty name of Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Mother, how you spell that, Yeshua?
Yeshua. It's like Yeshua. It's Y-A-S. H-A-Y-A. I believe that is Y-A-S-H-A-Y-A, Yeshua. Sometimes I see them put a H on the end of it.
Okay.
But it's Yeshua or Yeshua. Some people say Yeshua,
okay.
But it's really pronounced Yeshua.
Yeshua, okay.
Y-A-S-H-A-Y-A. And you could have put an H on the end. Sometimes I see a H, sometimes I don't see a H, I see a A. Just
okay.
A plain A on the end. Y A.
Yeshua. Yeshua means Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Okay, so while we are waiting for our speaker for this morning, Pastor Kathy, and talk in the sanctuary, hopefully. If not, then we will have to come up with something to discuss this morning. Amen. But in the meantime,
amen.
I will play a selection, which is so fitting for this morning. Amen. And
amen.
It is entitled Awesome by Charles Jenkins.
Oh. Yes.
Amen.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. at this. Our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say,
Come on and say awesome.
Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice.
Awesome.
Come on. the arms of God.
Yes, he is. Praise be to God. And now at this time, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with Talk in the Sanctuary. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this morning?
God bless you, dear heart. Doing awesome, thank you.
Sounding better.
Yeah. I got my little exercise in last night and did a little fellowship in my spirit. So, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit lifted up today. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. He knows what we need when we need it. And believe it or not, I was watching basketball documentaries or whatever, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at them, and for the life of me, I don't know what is going on, but I'm looking at this basketball and them talking about the players and everything, and in my spirit, I'm being lifted up because they went after that thing they love with everything they had, mm-hmm. and I mean, they would not stop, you know. And even on the times when they were setbacks and all of this was going on, and they thought, you know, this just ain't going to work because it was years before they would win. And, oh, my God, they just kept on going and kept on pushing and pushing and pushing. And I'm looking going, wow.
Wow.
So the same thing for us. Why do we give up on the things we love with God so easily when we know that it may not come that quick? Things may not happen that quick, but they will happen. Mm-hmm. And at the end, you know, I'm looking at this one dude, at the end, all he could see was the result of getting there. He didn't even think about the journey anymore. He just thought about where he was now. He got what he was after, you know, and I'm telling you, that thing was lifting you. I was like, they did not throw in the towel. Oh, I'm not going to do this. This is it. No, they kept going. And one of the things that he did that was just tripping me out, he was climbing a mountain of sand on a beach. So if anybody's ever walked through sand, they know how hard it is to walk while you're in sand. You got to really lift your leg and the bottom part of your legs and everything start getting stronger because you're lifting up. Sand is just as heavy as when you're walking in water. You know, when you get out, your legs feel all crazy. You're like, oh, my God. But the next day, they feel like, whoo, your calves and everything is strong. And so he's walking uphill, going through the sand. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. But you can't always find a beach. You know, everybody ain't got that kind of money where they can be close to a beach and they can just walk up in the sand to strengthen themselves. But my thing is, oh, watch this now. When you're carrying someone else that doesn't have the same faith as you, it's the same thing as walking through that sand. It's just as tough trying to climb that mountain with someone connected to you that doesn't share the same faith as you.
That's true.
So what do you do? And the funny part was, as hard as he was saying it was, and he was trying to lift his leg through. He wasn't even walking that fast because it's hard to lift sand and walk. But and then he's climbing upward, climbing the mountain. But as hard as it was, he'd get to the top, walk right back to the bottom, and start all over again.
Wow.
Why? Because he had his goals in sight, what he was really after. And so he was doing whatever it took to get to his goal. There was one of the coaches said, you know, they went into the locker and they had a silver ball. And he said, don't touch that one. That's not our goal. We want the gold. So they go in the locker and they don't touch the silver ball.
They're like, okay. He said, no, we after the gold. We don't want no silver.
Mm-mm.
So they didn't touch that one. And while I'm sitting there looking at them, and I'm just being lifted up in my spirit, because there are times when what's symbolic of them touching that silver ball was saying that you would settle before you get what you really want.
Right.
And so you will stop pressing to get what you want because you have settled.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, my God, I was hearing so much in that little basketball. I said, oh, jumped up. And I went in there, washed her hair and everything. And I was like, ooh, ooh. And I was going. And the guy's motto was anything is possible. And I went, no, you didn't take God's word and just, well, you know, hey, it belongs to all of us. So he said, anything is possible. And I thought, but when did the church stop believing that anything was possible? And at the end, he looked in the camera and he said, you know, opportunities always come when we least expect them. How are they taking all the words from the church? You know, and it's funny how the world thinks so much about God's word, and they're cussing and they're yelling in the script, but they still saying that, you know what, it's possible. We can do it. They did it. Why can't we? You know, so I'm looking at all this, and it's encouraging me, and I come out, and I say, I got to play this song. And I played Victory, and you might want to listen to it later. I played Victory by Ty Trivet.
Oh.
And the funny part is when he starts off that song, they start the music, and then he goes, ladies, and then the ladies in the background go, they come in, and they go, I thought I lost, but actually I won. And I'm going, oh, my God. And they just, I was blown away listening to the song. So anyway. You know what? Sometimes you really, really, really just have to encourage yourself. Sometimes
Absolutely.
You really do.
Absolutely.
Just you and God. You got to encourage yourself. And God will send something to touch your spirit to draw that woe pull me out so you can stand on your 2 feet and go, I can do this. I can walk through this sand. I can climb this mountain. It doesn't matter what's on my back. I'm going to keep on climbing.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. Blessings and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you, oh God, because you continue to show us how much you love us. You continue to show us, don't you dare get almost to the finish line and throw in the towel. And we could be 3 states away from the finish line, but don't you dare throw in the towel. You keep climbing. But here's the good news. You are not climbing alone. I am still with you.
That's right.
And for that, oh God, we say thank you. We honor you this morning. We love you for the strength that you provide for us. My goodness, for the things that you put in our path to encourage us, oh God, to keep us moving, to keep us climbing that mountain, oh God, knowing that the end result is what we're after.
Amen.
So we thank you. We love you. Honor and adore you. Have your way in this talk hour, oh God. Let it be spoken and discussed in love. Let no one be offended, oh God, and help us to be sensitive in the spirit of the things that we say, that we're careful not to offend one another. We love you. We honor you. Have your way right now. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
I felt like someone took my little charger and they put it on the charger and didn't tell me. And I woke up and I was all charged. I go, whoa! You know, because most of the time you don't know when your battery's running low until it just dies on you one day. No, you don't know that it's running low until it just dies on you one day. Now, if you got a modern car like mine, it'll show you the little battery thing. And you just go, oh, yeah, something's just wrong with the switch. No, it could be that your battery's running low. How about that? So, you know. And when we're walking the walk with Christ, a lot of times we don't know
when
our battery has run low. And
yes,
you need to be charged up. Mm-hmm. And that's when God sent a documentary out of the world, someone playing basketball, to charge you up. Wait a minute. If the world can press toward their mark like this, what about us? Because the world is doing it in their own strength, their own mind, and we're doing it in the strength of Christ.
Yes.
We're doing it with the Holy Ghost leading us and guiding us. Duck, stand up, move, walk, be still. You know, so we have help.
Mm-hmm.
And the only help they have is themselves, and in their mind it's just them. You know, because you listen to a lot of them talking and they think, and I'm going, yeah, I got to do it, but I ain't doing it alone. I got the Holy Ghost. And on those days when we get all down and out, the Holy Ghost is saying, why do they think that I'm not here to help them, to encourage them, to guide them? You know, why they think they're doing it in their own strength? If the truth be told, you stop doing it in your own strength in 2003. That's me who's been carrying you, you know. And you don't pay no attention because you just go on your merry little business or whatever. But we bless God today because he has a way of charging our battery even when we don't know we need to be charged. How
That's
about right. that?
Amen.
So we bless God for that. So
don't
I don't know who's on the line. It could just be me and you. But
no, Mother and Barbara is here.
Well, shut up,
yes.
I did not know. We have a full house. Praise
Amen.
The Lord, Sister Barbara. Thank God you're with us this morning. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
Oh, doing wonderful. Mother, you're there as well. God bless you, woman of God. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored.
Mother said, I will keep it short. I'm blessed. God bless you guys, because we have such a topic to talk about today. We really do. So I thank God for all of these voices, all of this input, all of these different perspectives on things. So thank God for you guys being on here. And welcome, welcome, welcome. For everybody that's listening on the internet or however you're listening, welcome. Welcome to Talk in the Sanctuary, Pastor Kathy DuVos. Here we go. You know what? The world has convinced us of a lot of things. Well, look, thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me take that back. I got to rewind that, y'all.
Okay.
Take it all back. The world tries to convince us of certain things. Let me put it that way. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He snatched that back as soon as I put it out there. He pulled it back. The world tries to convince us of a lot of things. And one of the things that the world wants us to believe is that you don't, okay, I want to say it this way, but then I know everybody's going to correct me. Sister Barbara ready to zone in on me. But I want to say it this way and give y'all an opportunity to zone in on me. That one of the things is that they say, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, right? My question to you guys is, what's your take on that? Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Let me go with Sister Barbara because, like I said, I know she wants to zone in on me. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? What do you believe? What do you think?
Don't think so harsh of me. How's my audio?
Okay, thank you. What do you think? Do you think you need to go to church to be a Christian?
Well, let me say this. Initially, in order to become a Christian, most people have gone through the church. But as you get older and maybe certain things come upon you and you can't make it to the church, that doesn't change the status. You're still a child of God. And you can still worship him at home by yourself with the TV, with the radio, with the Bible. That doesn't change your status. You're not fellowshipping necessarily, but you're still a Christian. Amen?
Amen. Good. Apostle of the Wiggins, what do you think? You got to go to church to be a Christian?
I think you need to go to church because you need instruction.
That's why we have pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry.
Come on,
you know what I mean? How are you going to? I mean, if you're an older person, you already have experience in the church and all that. So if you stay home and you read your word, you can't. You're not able to come, or you listen on the radio. That's a different thing. But people that's coming into Christ, they need some instructions.
Yes.
They need a teacher. They need a pastor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They need to, because when they look into the word, they need somebody to teach them the word and expound on that word. You know what I mean? Somebody that's well learned. I mean, why would God call people? Why would God call the fivefold ministers to minister to people? People need a teacher. You need a teacher. Need somebody to teach you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I have a question for you, Mother.
I'm sorry?
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's all right.
I have a question for you. When you say when you get older, you know, it's probably a little different to hear Christianity on the radio, on TV, and things like that because you've been taught. When you say when you get older, are you talking older as in age or older as in a mature Christian that's been through all of the teaching, been through the church for years and have, you know, embraced what you've been taught about Christ? Are you talking in years or are you talking years of service? Are you talking age?
Yeah, I'm talking age and years of service. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that person can't get out. Maybe nobody is there to take them to church. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they can't walk. Maybe they're in a walker. Maybe they're on the fourth floor and they're in a wheelchair. They can't get down them steps. You know what I'm saying? God is not going to frown on you because you didn't go to the building.
No, he won't.
Know, especially if he know your condition.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to frown on you for that because you didn't get to the place of worship, but he'll make other arrangements for you. You know what I mean? Like we'll have all this technology and everything. Thank God for it.
Amen.
Because there was a time when elderly people, I used to see elderly people sitting at the window. There was no, they had no way to go. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have all the things that we have now. We have so many things opened up to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you get old and you can't get to the church, you can still learn. You're still being taught. I'm still being taught, even though I'm not at the church and everything. God have opened up a way for me to be taught. And he's brought me the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be praying. God have brought me a teacher to be taught. You know, and I'm saying that we have to, that why is the fivefold ministry there? To perfect the saints, you know what I mean? I tell you, I never learned to have a relationship with God until I was under the pastor that I used to be in the church where I was at for 20 years. He taught us how to have the relationship with God. And if I didn't go in there and listen to him, I wouldn't have had that kind of relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
He
said,
go home and let God talk sometime. Because we always are asking God for this and asking God for that. He said, sometime you need to shut up and start hearing the
and
voice
listen.
Of God.
Yes,
in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that really brought me a long way from where I was.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to take up the time. That's what I'm saying.
No, I got what you said. Evangelist Hilda, what's your take? Do you need to go to church to be a Christian?
I agree with Mother, whereas you really need to go. For me, I feel like, yes, you need to go to church, but not to be a Christian, but to learn the Christian ways, you know, because I started going to church, I used to listen to this program, I think they still come on, called Family Radio. I used to send for the Bible study classes and everything. And that's how I got to know who God was. And then as I started going to different churches and learning about the Holy Spirit and Christ and all of that, I mean, like, I wouldn't have known who he was because most of the time we didn't go to church when I was living in the South because we were so far away and we had no cars or anything to even go. So when I came to New York, yeah, I learned from Ma and Pa about Seventh-day Adventists. And who Christ was, who God was. We used to sing the songs and study the Bible and everything and then go to church. But I know a lot of people who don't go to church. And a lot of them know more about the Bible than the ones who do go to church.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen.
That's something to think about, too.
Here's my thing. How about both of you summarized and said exactly what Sister Barbara said? Because if you listen to what Sister Barbara said, she said initially we have to go.
Yes.
Right? When we're coming into this walk, we have to go. Why? Because you have to learn in order for you to grow. So she said initially you have to go to church. And then as time goes on, whether you in that building or not, you know, you still watch it on TV, you still listen to it. So all three of you said the same thing, basically. My thing is, I'm wondering because we are the church. So, you know, going into that building is not for the purpose of us going to church. Going into that building is for the purpose of learning and coming into the knowledge of who we believe in, who we're accepting as our Lord and Savior. So, yeah, and God did put the fivefold in place to perfect us, to teach us, to help us to grow, to come into the knowledge of what it is we believe in, and then making a conscious decision whether or not we're going to follow the thing now that we have learned about, come to it, to, you know, we've been educated on this Christian walk. So, yeah, you're going into the building so you could learn. And not only that, not only are you learning, you are fellowshipping with one another. So you're drawing off one another's strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why the Bible says, don't forsake yourself to assemble with one another. So as often as you can, get with others because you're not just learning. You're drawing energy off one another.
Amen.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're at home, you're drawing energy. You know,
that's true.
You can be watching TV. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say one thing. How would you know that you are the church unless you go to the church to learn that you are the church?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Sister Robert said, initially we have to go to the church because we have to learn. We don't know anything about it. So he draws us to there so we can get into that process of learning initially. Initially for someone, could be 2 years, it could be 30 years, it could, you know, we don't know. Initially, you have to go to the church until you get all that you need to get so you can stand firm on what it is you believe. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now you have people, and they're not all old. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're not all old. You got some young people that don't go out into a church building, but they listen to it on TV. Or they listen to it on the radio, you know, because they feel like, oh, you got to put up this facade when you go to church. They got all these things in their mind telling them why they don't want to go. But it doesn't mean that they haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean that they're not walking the walk because they're still looking on TV. They're looking at Joyce Ryers. They're looking at T.D. Jakes. They're looking at all of them, you know, and they're continuing their fellowship. And guess what? A lot of those people sitting at home, they mailing in their tithes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now they got Cash App and all that, so they're paying their tithes and offering from home. So they believe they are connected in the church because they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
They're still
mm-hmm.
learning. They're just not in that building. So, yeah, initially we have to go, and then we have to continue to go because we're forever learning. Being taught, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever stop learning. You're always being taught something else. You ever come into the wisdom or the knowledge of other things. So, yeah, as long as you're continuing to hear God's word, whether it be radio, TV, however you're hearing it, internet, you're still learning. You're still growing. And that is still being connected, because if they weren't learning, if they weren't getting something out of it, because, you know, at the end, those pastors said, if you got something out of it today, or if you learn and you've grown, you find yourself growing, don't forget to send your tithes and offerings. And the people are sending their tithes and offerings because they feel like they're learning, they're growing. They're coming into a stronger knowledge of God's word and what God's word stands for. Now, the answer to that, when you say, do you have to go to church and be a Christian? Initially, I'm with all of you. Initially, you need to go, and you need to keep going until you feel like you can learn from a service on TV, or you can learn from a service on Zoom, or you can learn from radio, you know. But initially, you need to go to understand what Christianity is. You need to go and understand who Jesus is. You need to go and understand, to get an understanding of his thought. Because like they said, the fivefold is in place for the perfecting of the saints. Yeah, to bring you into a even stronger knowledge so you can get wisdom and all of that. So we bless God for that answer. We're going to move to the second part of these questions, because we got quite a few, and I'm trying to at least hit some of them, get three or four of them out. So that is a good thing. If you don't go to church and you're watching church on TV and radio, if you are learning, you are fine in God's eyes, still in his presence. You're still taking on the will of God. You know, let me go to the second part. So don't beat yourself up if you're young and you don't go to church and you just watch it on TV or the Zoom or whatever. Don't beat yourself up. If you find that you're learning and you're drawn to an even closer walk with God, you are doing the same thing that we're doing by going into the building. So you're fine. Just make sure you're learning, you're growing, you're maturing, you're becoming less like that old you and more like the new you, which is you are a new creature in Christ Jesus when you come to accept him. That means you're following the ways of Christ. That's all that means. So if you find that you're still stealing, you're still lying, you still cheat, you're still doing all these things, chances are you need to get somewhere where you can learn a little more, because you haven't learned enough yet. Because after a while, your learning, your maturing gets you to drop those things off, because you don't want to be found on the other side of a relationship with Christ. You want to be in a relationship with him. But if you're continuing to do the things you were doing before you came into a relationship with Christ, chances are you're falling down by the wayside and you're lying to yourself to keep yourself thinking, I'm still okay. You know I pray, I do this, I love the Lord, but you're still lying and cheating. And don't get me wrong, all of us are going to fall short again, right? We are going to make mistakes with, you know, I'm talking about people that habitually do these things that are not of God. That tells me that you have stepped away from God and you are no longer walking in that position you think you're in. You're not there anymore. So you need to be taught. You need to be educated. You need to be, refilled with God's word, because apparently hitting and missing, it's not working for you. You need to get back into a place where you're consistently hearing about the things of God, the word of God. You're consistently, whether you're alone or not, praying and seeking God's guidance and God's direction, because we need that. If we don't do it on a consistent basis, guess what? The enemy slips in there, draws you away, and you're still walking around saying you're Christian, but you really aren't. And that leads me to the second part of this question. Here's the other part. So how many of you believe once saved, always saved? And then tell me, tell me, what do you think that means, once saved, always saved? and then tell me whether or not you believe that to be true. I'm going to go with Apostle Wanda Wiggins, sir. Once saved, always saved. What do you think that means? And then do you believe it to be true? Once saved, always saved. Apostle Mother Wiggins.
Well, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then, I mean, if it's in your heart and you really accepted Christ as your Savior, then it's once saved, always saved. Now, if you came into the kingdom, but you really didn't give your heart to God, I don't know if you really say, because God knows your heart. He knows whether you really wanted to be saved or you was just maybe following a friend or something. That's all I have to say.
Okay, Sister Barbara?
I believe once saved, always saved. And I think Apostle Wiggins brought that to my attention a few years ago, because I always thought that you can fall out, you know, fellowship with God, but once you're saved, you're sealed. So no matter what you do, you repent, you ask forgiveness, and you stay in right fellowship with Him. So again, I think you can, once saved, you're always saved. I believe that to be true.
Evangelist Hilda.
I believe that once saved, you're always saved, as long as you stay in the line of God. Because I'm with Sister Barbara, because yes, Pastor also read, but I forgot the scripture and thing that he I think it's either in 1 Timothy or Titus, one of them, but I know that he did taught us that, said that to us in one of our lessons.
Okay. I'm so glad all of you answered the second part of the question, because the first part was to explain what you thought it meant. But I understand what everybody's saying. They say once saved is always saved. But I love the fact that you guys came behind that and said, if you stand in right standing with God, if you continue to walk in the ways of God, if you continue to live that lifestyle that is pleasing unto God, then yeah. Because guess what? Once saved, always saved. People got it twisted. I got saved, and now I can go back in the world and do what I want to do. I can go commit adultery. I can go steal. I can go be a homosexual. I can go do drugs. I can do this. I can do that. I can lie. I can. Come on now. No. Because guess what? In the Bible at the end, it says, when they approached the throne and they said, oh, I did this for you, God, and I did this for you, and I did this, and he says, get away from me, for I know you not. Mm-hmm. Right? So there are some ways that we can separate ourselves from God and not make it into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. We need to get the teaching on once saved, always saved, so we can better understand. Yes. That comes with a condition. The condition is, as long as you continue to be in right standing with God, as long as you continue to walk upright with God, you know, and that also means even if you fall short and you make mistakes, and we're going to make mistakes, we're going to do things that is not right in God's sight, but to come back and ask forgiveness and repent and turn away from that and walk away from that thing and don't do that no more, and chances are you might make another mistake. Well, you come back and you ask for forgiveness again. That's and right. You keep it moving. But like you say, God does know our hearts, and our hearts is going to be, our actions should be a reflection of what's in our heart. Because if you really love God, mm-hmm. really, truly, chances are you're not going to easily go out there and do those things that you know goes against God. You think that when you come to the knowledge, like where we are right now, we're considered senior saints, saints that got a good understanding of God's word. You think that saints that got a good understanding of God's word, that it should be so easy for us to go out there and commit adultery? It should be so easy for us to go out there and lie? It should be so easy for us to go out there and steal? It should be so easy for us to just, oh, I can drink, I can smoke, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm okay because I love the Lord. You don't need to judge me because God knows my heart. I know your heart too because I'm looking at you. Because eventually what's on your heart is going to really control what's coming out of your mouth, your actions, everything. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but a lot of times when I'm getting ready to do something, even when I was doing it in my mama's house, and I know what my mother liked and what my mother didn't like, right? And I knew in my heart I loved her. I loved my mama. And so there are times when this flesh or my little crazy self said, go on outside. She ain't going to know. I said, yeah, she ain't going to know. She at work. She worked two jobs. How would she know? I go outside and do what I want to do, but in my heart I knew I loved my mother, but I was going against what she asked me not to do. So I stepped out there, being disobedient, stepped outside, and then guess what? After I get back in the house, I'm so filled with guilt. Because soon as she comes through the door, hey, what y'all do today?
Nothing.
Huh? Why you gotta ask that? Now they were standing and watching TV, and she looking back and she going, They don't even know I know they lying. Why? Because I know my children, right? Get watch this now. I know what they're capable of doing. That was our natural mother who knew us and knew what we were capable of doing. Imagine God who knows your heart.
Right.
He knows what you're capable of doing. Just like when he went in that garden, he said, Adam, where are you? You already know where I am. I'm over here hiding because I did wrong. Nowadays, Kathy, where are you? That's just a reminder that, Kathy, it doesn't matter that anyone else can see you because they don't have heaven or hell to look to it. It just matters that I see you, and I always see you. So while we're still concentrating on hiding, keeping it hid from this person or that person or that person, God still sees.
Yes, he does.
Still sees. And guess what? I don't care what nobody said. God will make a way of escape, but you've got to want to escape it. I was dealing with some things the other day, and I'm telling you, I was just, all over the place. And I tend to get on myself, and I go, and I say, God, help me, da-da-da. And I'm praying. And my intercessors, I have a team of intercessors that I'm connected with. My intercessors, they don't hear from you in a little bit. They're like, oh, okay, what's going on? And then God is stirring, constantly bringing your name into their spirit. And they contact you. And you say, And guess what? God lets you know I'm right there watching you. Okay. What happened to me on Zoom Sunday, last Sunday, I wanted to get on there because I couldn't be seen and whatever. And I wanted to get on there. And then I looked at the invite from Lady Nadine. The invite says, for God works all things for the good of them that love him. Romans 8:28. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, that thing pulled on my spirit. Went on, did the show, whatever. So the other day when the intercessor contacted me and I said, I just need time, just working on some things. The intercessor comes back and writes Romans 8:28. I said, oh, my God. Oh, my, oh, Jesus, Lord. So you know that that's God saying, they cannot see you. They don't know what you're going through, but I see you. So So I'm going to allow them to say what I need them to say to get your attention, to know that, to let you know I am here with you.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you've got to understand, when God says, if you go out there and you're saying, once saved, always saved, and I can do this and I can do that, and who are you to judge me? You so righteous, you so spiritual, you so all of this. Look, don't even worry about trying to make me feel bad. You ought to feel bad because, number one, when my mother comes back in the room, she's walking up and down. She don't even look back at me and say, so you say you've been in the house all day, huh? She don't say anything. She go in her room and she starts talking to you. Oh, really, I'm happy. And you know, I know it sounds crazy, but when your mother tells you to bring her her Pepsi, that means, ooh, I got over. She's not mad at me because she's asking me to do things. Listen to what I'm saying. She's asking me to do things for her because I got over. She don't know that I was outside. She knows. She's just giving you ample time to come clean.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with God. He knows what you've done. He's giving you ample time to come clean. Just because he may ask you to do this or ask you to do that does not mean that he has not seen the wrong you've done. And he's not giving you ample time to come clean for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, because after that, you know, you like, oh, she's letting me bring her Pepsi. So she's not that. And then you go in there and you feel like, no, something ain't right. You know, you're feeling all guilty. Well, let me put it this way. You should be feeling guilty, okay? If you're not feeling guilty, you're not being convicted. If you're not being convicted when you do wrong, chances are you are not still connected. Because if you connected to God and you can do wrong and don't feel convicted, oh, my goodness, help you. Whoever you are. Because my thing is, and I had a young man to look and say, I don't feel convicted. And I'm looking at him. You got a wife and you sitting here with another woman and you telling me, I don't feel convicted. I have nothing to feel convicted of. And I'm going, oh, my God. And I look at the person that he's with and I say, look at her. She's dying because she feels the conviction. How scary is it to be with someone who does not feel convicted if they're a child of God and they're living a life doing all these things wrong and they never feel convicted? That's a scary place to be in. I'm with you guys. Once saved, always saved. It can be if you line up with the conditions, stay in right standing with God, do those things that are pleasing in God's sight, because don't get it twisted. God says he is not a God to be wrong. Don't think he don't see what you're doing. He don't hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people say things to me and do things to me, and I'm telling you, I sit there, and I had my pastor, and I'm trying to bring it in now. I had my pastor tell me, you know, I was her owner, and the people would do things to her, say things to her. And me and her would go in her office, and she would sit down and say, God, don't hurt them. Please don't hurt them. They don't know what they're doing. And I'm looking around the room, and then I look at her and go, why are you saying that? She said, because I don't want God to hurt them. They just ignorant. They don't know who I am. And I'm going, okay, so why you think he's going to hurt them? Kathy, I am one of God's anointed. You can't say anything you want to say to me, do anything you want to do to me, or treat me any kind of way, and I'm living a lifestyle as best I know how that's pleasing unto God. Oh, trust me. He will deal with all of those that touch his anointed. And I'm going, okay. Yeah. I said, well, I need to tell you, I used to think you was mean. I had to come clean, and I'm like, well, shoot, if they touching you and you asking God not to hurt them, I need you to ask God don't hurt me either, because sometimes I was thinking you really mean. And she says, I know you think that, Kathy. I know you think that. You need to learn the difference between being stern and being mean. Because
right.
when you're stern, you're still showing a whole lot of love, even though you're stern. When you mean, the person don't feel your love at all. You just mean. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So we've got to be careful, because there's a lot of people out there that believe, once they've always said, I can live my life, do what I want to do. I've already accepted Christ. I'm good. Yeah, but don't worry about me. Like I said, I don't have heaven or hell to put you in. Worry about the one that really is going to judge you, and he's going to say, get away from me, for I know you're not. I have people say some things to me, cuss me out, do all kind of stuff to me, and I'm sitting there going, what in the world? And I mean, some of these people caught me off guard. Because I'm thinking, well, I was loving on them, dude. What the heck? You know? So we've got to be careful, because the very least of these mean something to God. Even if you don't respect that person, you don't like that person, you ought to be telling yourself, I got to respect the position they hold. The world is running away with it. Once they've always said, you know, because they don't want to say the rest of that sentence. And what God says, when you take out some of his word or you mm-hmm. add to some of his word, you have changed his word. So yeah. you're saying once they've always say, well, you're not saying the rest. If you continue to be in right standing with God, if you continue to live that lifestyle that's pleasing unto God, they don't want to say all that. They just say once they've always say. And the last part of that was we were going to talk about being religious. And so I'm going to curtail that for next week, because there is a lot to that. I don't just want to hit and miss. I want us to really talk about what it's like to be a Christian, right? What it means to be a Christian. And then once we get to that part where is it better to be spiritual or religious, and we'll talk about what spirituality is versus what religion is. So we'll talk about that next week, because I don't want to try to take 2 minutes and run it through it when it's something we need to know. We need to have an understanding of this thing. It's not for ourselves, they're for the ones that are listening to Rock Talk Radio. Okay? So I'm going to give all of you guys a chance to put in your last comments about what we talked about and just add a few words before we close out. I'm going to start with Sister Barbara.
Thank you. Beautiful topic today. Thank you for the discussion, the comments. Appreciate you. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Apostle Mother Wiggins.
I thought that was very good today, what we talked about, you know, as far as whether a person is saved or not, or people with the church, whether they should, you know, whether it's all right to stay home or go to church, you know, and that we are the church. I thought that was very good to talk about that. You know what I mean? There might be some people out there that really need this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was very good. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Evangelist Hilda?
Yep, I agree that it was a wonderful topic today, and I'm so happy that you decided to, you know, give us the questions. Do we have to go to church to be a Christian? And no, mm-hmm. yes, we do go. You don't have to. It's up to the individual to go to learn more. And, you know, because you can read the Bible, but do you understand what it's saying? And if you don't go and congregate with other believers, how would you know what you're reading is understandable to you? So, yes, I believe that, you know, we should go to church to learn more about God and his Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the lesson today.
You're welcome. God bless you. Well, let me just say this. It is not up to the individual. You can make a choice whether or not you want to go, but it's not up to you whether you're going to learn, because you have to learn. You have to come to the knowledge of who he is. Like Mother said, that's why he put the fivefold in place, to teach us for the perfecting of the saints. So the choice is whether or not you're going to accept Christ.
Right.
That's the choice. If you accept him, then you have to accept all of the teachings and all the rest of that that comes with knowing who he is and what his plans are for your life and what he desires to see come out of your life. But the choice that you get to make with up to the individual is whether or not you're going to accept him and his teachings. After that, you have to, if you're going to be a child of God, you have to grow. In order for you to grow, you have to be taught. You have to be educated about the word of God, the things of God, and the ways of God, and the love of God.
Amen.
So all of us, you know, we're still learning. God is still bringing stuff out. Why? Because in this world, right now, we are trying to be made to believe that darkness is overtaking us. Darkness is not overtaking us.
Nope.
No. It only looks like that, but it's not. Mm-hmm. Everything is not what it seems.
Amen.
Like Smoking Awful said, there is a stronger force behind the scene. And the song is Amen.
Amen.
And he starts off singing, everything is not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when you call. And I'm going to leave it right there.
Amen.
God bless all of you for joining us. And for all of you that don't have a relationship with God right now, it is not too late. That's why God continues to send this word, because he wants to know you, as well as me, all of us. He loves us. He does not want to see us perish. He wants to see us make it into the kingdom. All we got to do is want what he wants. We've got to want to be in the kingdom. We've got to want to accept his son Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We've just got to want it. And he sent his spirit to show us how we can obtain it on a daily basis. We cannot walk this walk alone, because sometimes we're going to fall and stumble. We may not know how to give back up. We may not know how to encourage ourselves. But his spirit is here. Once we accept him, he sends his spirit to lead and guide us through this whole salvation walk, this whole journey of trying to get to where he's at. If you don't know Christ today, open your heart up, open your mouth up, wherever you are. Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that your son Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins. I'm inviting you to come into my life. I want to make you my Lord and Savior. I believe Jesus Christ exists. He died for our sins. I believe. You got to confess that you believe, right? And then after that, you start praying and say, lead me to a good household of faith where I can continue to grow into the knowledge of who he is.
Yeah.
You know what? A gun that's half cocked will never kill anybody.
Mm.
But once the gun is half cocked and the person pulls the trigger, it's going to take a life.
Yes.
And guess why I say that? Because if you live in a life that's half cocked, you're dying. Right? No one is pulling the trigger for you. You've already pulled it for yourself because you're living in sin. The wages of sin is death. That's real. Well, there's another reality. God loves you enough to want to see you live again. He wants you to be born again. He wants to bring you out of that mess. He is a forgiving merciful, loving God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let him, he can put you right back into the pathway of righteousness. If you let him, if you desire to give up the things that you're doing that's not pleasing unto him. But you have got to take the first step and accept his son as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you. We love you. We honor all of you for being on, for being under the sound of my voice. And we pray that you've gotten something out of it today. Precious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for just softly, gently coming in and reminding us of what it is, what it's going to take to get where you are. We know that your son Jesus said, I am the way. Well, the way is also through your word and growing, coming into the knowledge, getting educated. That's the way we get in. We really embrace who Jesus is, what he did, what he's still doing for us. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing. And we pray on a continuous basis that all of us continue to acknowledge you so you can lead and guide us in the way we are, that one day soon, however many years soon may be, when that time comes, we will all have a mansion there with you, with our name on it. We thank you, we love you, we honor and adore you. We pray that this word fell on some hearts that needed to hear God loves you. He's a merciful, forgiving God. Father God, continue to be with us, continue to lead and guide us in the way you would have us to go. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful weekend. And I will see those tomorrow who I always see on Sundays. And enjoy your day, ladies.
God bless you guys. Enjoy
God
your
bless
Saturday.
You.
Blessings. Love
you.
You
too.
Love you too.
Enjoy your weekend.
Amen.
Yes.
You too, Mother.
All right.
Love you. And on that note,
love you
we
too.
Are going out on All Belongs to You. Praise God.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.